mean, slavery, the KKK, Jim Crow, hanging people, discrimination,
sharecropping.
It just goes on and on. So when LBJ in 1965 did that iconic photograph of shaking the hand of Martin Luther King,
yes.
You all know that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Where they signed the Civil Rights Act. Well, let me go back a few years. And Ronald Kessler, in his great book called Inside the White House,
yes,
he recalled the time where LBJ was on the plane with two governors, and these governors recited what LBJ said. He said, if we could pass a civil rights bill, I'll have those niggers voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Was LBJ right? I think he was.
Well, yeah, they got a down payment on it about the last 50 years since they did pass the civil rights bill. But Lyndon Johnson was instrumental in keeping Eisenhower from passing the same bill when he was trying to pass it.
Just 7 years before. Thank you, Phil, for bringing that out. Just 7 years before, he, as the head of the Senate.
That's right.
He was the main one fighting against Eisenhower passing mm-hmm. the same bill.
And so, and joined by Sheets Bird and Al Gore Sr. and Stennis of Mississippi, Eastman. All of these guys put on the longest filibuster in history.
Thank you very much for adding that history. And it's really disgusting. And one of the things, guys, I want to say, it's not all of the Democrat, who I like to call the Democrat Socialist Party's fault. We got a lot of rhino Republicans. In other words, Republicans in name only.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're gutless, empty suits out there just walking around. Basically, they're like Democrats, but they just don't want to do as much socialism and Marxism. They want to do just a little less. But they basically are Democrat Socialists, too. And they're gutless. They want to reach across the aisle like John McCain did. And what did that get him? Well, it got him to defeat in the presidential election, and he served Barack Obama on a silver platter for us in 4 years. He's ruined this country. He spent more money than all 43 of his predecessors combined. And he told Vladimir Putin, the new leader of Russia, that just give me a little bit more time. When I get reelected, I'm going to be able to really give you what you want.
Yeah.
And also, he has thrown the Constitution in the shredding machine. He has done more against our Constitution than any other president has ever done. And there's not one cry from the rhinos in charge of our side of the aisle. They should be crying from the highest mountaintop about all of the things that he has done that are against constitutional authority. This is still a limited republic, limited by the Constitution, on government, not on you and me. And that's what Barack Obama's doing. He's imposing limits on us as individuals.
He's sanctioning us. You see that?
Yes.
It goes back to sanctions. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. We were just talking about how the UN is always talking about how they're putting sanctions on Iran, you know, at level one, level two. And I was saying that the president is trying to put sanctions. He's trying to put sanctions on American families. He's trying to put sanctions on American businesses. He's trying to put sanctions on American ideas.
By limiting the cash flow and the economic liberty
absolutely.
Of each and every individual in this country.
By suppressing us economically, by using the Brookings Institute on creating the talking points and creating the way we think, using the Council of Foreign Relations to help him with governing us and helping us move into, you know, like you said, this Marxist utopia that he has in mind.
Well, you know what? In this article, I kind of go back into the history and Phil, you just outlined a lot of the different political structures like the Brookings Institute and the Council on Foreign Relations and many, many, really hundreds of other organizations that a lot of us have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them that you don't hear much about, at least in a negative term, is Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And I said this, Black Americans' 80-year love affair voting for the Democrat Socialist Party is a direct correlation with rising rates of genocidal black pathology over the past 50 years in every big city in America where blacks tend to congregate. Abortion is the unspoken but direct link to black pathology and violence plaguing society and culture in modern times. And then I cite a historical example. In 1939, one of Planned Parenthood's original programs was called the Negro Project,
mm-hmm.
a comprehensive series of programs designed to control the birth of what Margaret Sanger called human weeds,
mm-hmm.
which was how she characterized colored people. This project was intended to introduce abortion, sterilization, and different forms of birth control into the black community, all under the name of public health.
Yeah.
In a 1939 letter to her friend and financier, Clarence Gamble, Sanger wrote, quote, "We should hire three or four colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. Can you say Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton? The most successful education approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Let me say that again. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." Well, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ellis Washington, and I'm a rebellious member, and I'm speaking to two rebellious members, my brothers Phil and Dale.
Yes.
We got to stop this madness, and we have to turn violence against our most innocent, the unborn children, and protect them. Otherwise, we'll never be able to stop black mob violence throughout society.
Yeah. That,
well said. I tell you, Ellis, you know, the most important thing that we can do today is bring you on here and bring this message. And hopefully that message will be, you should be the spokesman for this area, because look what happened. You know, you heard the example that she used. She said, we'll get a few Negro clergy.
Ministers.
Well, look what happens every time.
Ministers, preferably with a social service background and with engaging personalities.
Yeah, look what happens every time one of the politicians that are a Democrat, whether they're white or black, whenever they say something, or whenever a Republican says something, the first people out of the box to defend whatever the position is that the Democrats have is the local clergy here. And then if that doesn't do it, then they call in Jackson and Sharpton.
Yeah.
And this is the strategy. This is why you see everything that happens is related back to racism. And it has to stop. We have to recognize it, and we have to stop it. You know, so there are some other things. I got an article on our website. You need to check it. Go to Art of Michigan website, and you'll see. And it's also on my website, Phil Stargell, the abolitionist website, and the Facebook. And it is an article about an incident that happened at a meet and greet in Dearborn, Michigan last Monday.
Okay. Well, absolutely. Well, I'm just going to have to say, I want you to give out your website one more time, Professor Washington. We're going to have to do this again because we have another guest that's coming on.
Okay.
But we know that you have a book that's coming out. We want to get make sure that that folks know about your book so that they can get this book, because this is going to be a real eye opener for people. And also we want people to because you're going to be doing a book tour, and anybody that want to get in touch with you and set you up to come to speak to their group a little bit ahead of time, they can go ahead and set an appointment on that too. Also,
yes, my website is elliswashingtonreport.com. That's elliswashingtonreport.com. I have an email contact box right there. And the name of the book that's coming out is two volumes of essays from the 2007-2010 period. It's entitled The Progressive Revolution, Liberal Fascism Through the Ages. And you can visit my publisher's website. It's universitypressofamerica.com or UPA.com. And hopefully, I just wrote my editor, and we're trying to get it published earlier. They were talking about the November time. I say, well, I'd like to get it before the election.
Oh, yes, man, that would be like awesome.
September.
Yes.
So I'm pushing for September, so I'll keep pushing them, and I'll keep you posted. I'd like to come back on your show anytime.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll have you back. Okay. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you,
Take
Dale.
It easy,
okay.
Take it Dale. Easy. Bye-bye. Well, thank you very much, folks. That was I wish we had a little bit more time with Professor Washington, but we have our next guest. We're going to talk to Judge Michael Warren. He's a presiding judge of civic and civil law, of civic and criminal in the criminal division, and he's the co-creator of something called Patriots Week. And so we want to talk about Patriots Week. And matter of fact, he's in his area too. You know, he went to law school right here at U of M. And so I want to say good morning to Judge Warren. Good morning, Judge Warren.